I think we're all, you know, I gave my opinion this morning about the why the gifts aren't manifesting more than they are. And I believe that's really the mind of Christ. Well, I also think that we're in a period of Gideon's army. And the Lord is giving everybody a chance that they want to come. And they're really choosing themselves or not choosing themselves. You know what I mean? And it just is what it is. And but how many of you know the Lord can be victorious with a few the same way he can be victorious with many? So I'm just going to keep until we get a different assignment, or you know, it's like if he says do this till he comes, we're just going to keep doing it. As far as I'm concerned, one time at the Bible study, we got down to I think the least we ever had was 5 people, and that was one of the most anointed nights we ever had. And there was a prophecy that came forward that night that's still being used around the world. So you can't be moved by what you see. I think there's scripture for that. Hallelujah. Announcement. We've got a change. Let me get your attention. Dun, da, 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 da. Okay, we've got a change now. We don't like change, so anyway. From now on, starting this Wednesday, prayer will be officially from 4 p.m. until 10 p.m. So, you know, like an hour and a half for this bunch to start at 7 and finish at 8:30 is like we're not even hardly started yet, you know. So officially it'll be open. You know, you don't have to stay the whole time or anything. And Alan this morning was getting a little overzealous. He kept talking about Thursday prayer. But as far as I know, I was just checking with Derek. As far as I know, we don't have Thursday prayer yet. But officially starting this week, January 22nd, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Come get all you can stand. All right. Boy, I'm still caught between two opinions here. Which way to go with the service? Well, what I'm hearing is I think we're going to continue with how Alan, we'll just piggyback off of Alan's second message, because he brought up a couple of really good examples about the kind of revival we're after. Now, we are called to witness. We'll share our witness. We are called to help the poor. We will help the poor. We are called to feed the hungry, visit those in prison. Those are all things that we are called to do, and we do. The thing of it is, with all those things, unsaved people can do those same things, okay? And atheists can run a nursing home, or they can run an orphanage or a food outreach just to help people, you know? But Alan brought up some really, I really like the one he brought up about Philip. And it was a combination of human energy and supernatural energy, because Philip received instruction from the Holy Ghost, go to this certain place. Well, he had to go there, you know, camel taxi, I don't know how, but he had to get there to this certain place. And then there was a eunuch, a eunuch from Ethiopia, wasn't it? As you can see, I have no notes on this at all. And then he got instruction, well, what do you want me to do? He said, well, join yourself to the chariot. And so the Ethiopian had questions. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he says, now, who is the prophet writing about? Is he writing about himself? Is he writing about somebody else? Now, all of this so far is pretty much a cooperation of natural human ability with Holy Spirit direction. And that's good. That's kind of where we are right now. Okay. And most of you right now, you're at the point where if the Lord would speak to you and say, B didn't pay me to do this, but you know, he says, just give B $1,000. You know, most of you'd run right over there and do it. And, you know, without any question. And B would receive it gratefully and use it however the Lord directed her. See, now that's a cooperation, and that is a level to arrive at. I remember when we weren't barely at that level. I remember that time we were sitting right over there in the days when money was staying away in great abundance, and the Holy Spirit instructed me to give $10 to a certain lady. And part of me was hoping I didn't have $10 on me, because we were just about down to our last 10 bucks. I mean, there wasn't hardly anything left, you know. And when I checked, guess what? There it was. So but it was a war. Isn't that sad that at the $10 level, there's a war at all? We've come a little ways, I think, you know. But sure enough, we did it. And there was a reason, a real reason, besides the $10. This woman was so desperate, she needed a miracle from God. And she had been listening to the TV preachers that said, if you want a miracle from God, you got to give big enough to get his attention. And she was just about to slip her wedding ring off and put it in the offering bucket, because she didn't have anything else to give. So God gave her that $10 to give that instead. He did not want her putting her wedding ring in the offering bucket. Isn't that something? You never know what God's up to, see. I mean, he might let you know. But all he really needs is give the lady the $10. But see, that's a certain level. And thank God, I believe we're at that level now. You've prayed enough and listened enough. And Sue has got testimony after testimony where the Lord has spoken to her. You know, give food, give this, give that. All of you have been there. But where we're going is where the Lord is going to do things through us that no man can do. Because you get to a certain place in that story, and the Ethiopian asks, well, now who is it? Well, thank God Philip knew the answer, and he preached Christ to him, starting at that verse. The guy wanted to get saved. He says, well, here's water. What would prevent me from being baptized right here? He said, well, you can if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I'm paraphrasing a little because I didn't look it up. So he was baptized. This guy got saved, baptized. And then the very next verse, I believe it says, and Philip was found at Azotus, which is a town about 20 miles away. Whoa. Now, there we go. How did Dave say that? Trinity Airlines. It's fast. Now, see, no man can do that. Now we're entering into the realm of what only God can do, a co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting to me that Alan brought that out today in connection with the transformation message. He's trying to get it across to us. This is more than a renewing of the mind. We're not being transformed into, this is going to sound strange, a better human. We're not being transformed into a better human, a better version of Adam. We are being, in our spirit, it's already happened. See, how did Alan put it? In our spirit, the butterfly nuggets have already been deposited. I know that's bad language, but it makes sense, doesn't it? It's new creature nuggets. We have received the new creature DNA already in our spirit. He's not transforming us into a, well, see, that I got to pause right there. I started to say he's not transforming us into a more obedient human. He is. No, but that's level one. Where he's really taking us is transforming us into a new creature. Somebody who's not of this world. Exactly like Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So it goes way beyond that. Who's preaching? Take it. Mortification is a necessary process because the caterpillar has to go away. Remember that process, the actual, you know, God created the caterpillar butterfly thing. Well, we can learn a lot from it. There is no caterpillar left. It dissolves from, you know, what I've seen of the cocoon is built, and that thing literally like dissolves. It's like it's gone, but it reforms as something brand new. Boy, that's a pretty good description of what is going on with us. We have new creature nuggets, new, would that be the title? I don't know. New creature DNA has already been downloaded on the inside of us. And somehow the Holy Spirit is energizing. Yes, sir. The season we're in, the cocoon season. We're more obedience, yes. More faithfulness, yes. More discipline over the flesh, yes. Those are necessary things. Mortification, yes. But it's beyond there. And these two messages this morning, I think, gave a glimpse I'm right at the edge of what I know. So I don't know how to say it, Lord. It's no longer I that liveth. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ in me. Now, it is, but he said, it's I, but it's not I, but it's Christ in me. It's a new creature. It's something not of this world. It's something, another statement Alan made today, nothing of Adam will remain. Eventually in the new world, the new heaven and the new earth, nothing of Adam, nothing of the first world. That first world is going to be set on fire and gone, nothing left. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Well, there's also going to be new, in the same way that there's going to be nothing of the first Adam in that world, there's going to be nothing of the first Adam in you. That process has already begun. That process has already begun. But it can't go to completion as long as we're wearing these mortal bodies. So the mortal body, that's why death, yes, sir, I hadn't even thought of that. That's why death cannot be abolished yet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. See? But he has to leave us. God could have just crumpled up this sin-sick world like we would take a sheet of paper, wad it up, and throw it in the trash. He could have just started fresh with the last Adam, couldn't he? He could have just made, Jesus is the last Adam. I'll just make you a new heaven and a new earth. Fool you on all those other people. They can all go to hell. We'll just start again. But God so loved the world that he has held off on that. And he is trying to rescue as many children, fallen children of Adam as he can, rebirth them to be his own children, and put them to work in his kingdom to rescue more children, to be honest with you, because he's trying to save, is no better word, save as many people as he can out of the doomed population of the first Adam. Okay? He says, I've not come to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. See? So this is, if you'll allow me, it's a search and rescue mission, but it's more than search and rescue. It's search, rescue, and recreate. Okay? Because we are literally new creatures. We've all heard that verse probably for decades in church, but it's really just now, I believe, coming into the forefront of our mind what that really means. He's not making you into a better human. He's making you into a new creature, which has already happened in your spirit. The DNA, the new creature nuggets are already in you, but somehow praying in tongues and fasting and the word and being in his presence somehow cocoons us. Somehow causes the transformation process to come to completion. And it is a renewing of the mind. I'm going to give you a preview of coming attractions. And I don't have it, it's just a preview. But what happens to me when I anytime that you spend a lot of time in prayer, your gift, whatever gift you have, whatever he's called you to do in the body is going to manifest more. Well, when I spend the extended time in prayer and the word, the teaching gift is just, man, it's just amazing. I just type and type for hours. And the other day, I just hear, and Adam knew his wife. And Adam knew his wife. And he does that split screen thing with me. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son. Okay? Left side. Right side. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Adam knew his wife. You shall know the truth. And I know one's Hebrew, in the Old Testament, that's Hebrew. In the New Testament, it's Greek. So I know it's not the same word. It couldn't be the same word because one's Hebrew, one's Greek. But I'm wondering, is that word in the New Testament ever used in that sense? Like Adam knew his wife? In other words, Adam had, we're in church, no children, but I'm still got to be careful. See, Adam had knowledge of his wife, but to know her goes far beyond knowledge. there was, fellowship? Intimate fellowship? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? It went way beyond, hi, I'm Adam, what's your name? It went way beyond that, didn't it, in order for conception and birth to take place. So I've done my little bit of study already. I didn't find it in the Strong's, but I did find it in Thayer's definition. That word in the Greek where you shall know the truth and the truth, you shall know the truth. It is sometimes used in the Jewish culture as a way of describing a husband's way with his wife. Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. Now see that, when you get that, see, so many people have heard Dave teach. I heard Dave teach for years that you've been set free from sin, right? He would teach, he said, if you're sinning, it's because you want to. You know, we could go back and review all. I heard that for years and kept smoking and kept probably doing some other things, you know. I'm not asking about your things, okay. But I heard it and I heard it and I heard it. That's not the same as knowing it. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth. That goes beyond having knowledge. It'd be like Adam and Eve walking up. Hi, I'm Adam. What's your name? I'm Eve. Well, you're pretty. Well, you're handsome. Let's talk. Let's walk. But unless they ever intermingle, he has not yet really known her. Not in the scriptural, biblical sense. I think that's the same thing with the Word of God. You can hear it. Faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But sometime, you know, how do we know there's a heaven? The Bible tells us there's heaven. How do we know there's a hell? The Bible tells us a hell. How do we know about Jesus? The Bible tells us about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. But I think so much of the church has knowledge, but they don't know the Word. They have not intermingled with the Word. They have not fellowshipped in a... Yes, sir. A good example. Alan and I both have this testimony of how we had to learn that the Lord is our provider. And Alan, he was served Norval Hayes ministry for, 18 years? And he's heard every kind of... I mean, trust me, you in that circle, you're going to hear about prosperity and the Lord is your provider a lot over an 18-year period. And Alan would have testified the same way I would have testified, because we hung around a similar group. I would have sworn in a court of law on a stack of Bibles 10 foot tall. No, I can't reach that high. 6 foot tall. That's still taller than me. But anyway, I would have sworn, I know the Lord's my provider. Yes, Shandai, shaka, shaka, hallelujah. The Lord is my provider. Uh-huh. I had knowledge of it. I could tell you scriptures about it. I could even teach about it. But until, how I like to put it with Sue and I, and really the same thing with Alan, it's like the Lord coaxed us out on this limb. Come on, come on. Come on, Gary and Sue, come on out here. Okay, here we come, here we come. Okay, you're out here far enough. Got us out on this limb of this tree. And then cut the tree away. we had nothing. We had no secular income. We had no ministry income. Nobody. We didn't have ministry. I mean, it was like, what? And when Alan moved here, remember he was, his wife, pretty girl, Christy. Names. Yeah, pretty girl. Well, when I'm like this, Christy. She was pregnant with Harrison, right? So, oh yeah. And Alan has it all lined out. See, here's God. Come on here. Y'all moved to Tulsa. Come on. And so Alan had it all figured out because he'd had this 18-year fellowship with all these ministries. Man, I'm sure he had a list of numbers he could call, and he could be preaching every week of the year. And man, he had it all lined out. Okay. Trouble is, when he got here, see, got him out on the limb. Come here. Wham, I don't want you traveling and ministering. I want you to stay here, pray, and learn that I'm your provider. What? Now then began real. I want to go ahead and use the word intercourse with the Word. Now it's life and death. Now it's real. Now it's not theory anymore. Now it's not just something you say in the pulpit. See, we've had other times like that when I had the melanoma cancer, and they're giving you 6 months to live. Now it's real, okay? And you better have some, you better know the Word. And I mean, and you better know the God of the Word. And I mean more in more than a theological Bible college way. You better know Him. And I mean in a relational, fellowshipal. Almost like Adam knew his. Now, I don't want to get weird, but I mean, you've got to know. You shall, see, I hear it again right now. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. And it's the same know as Adam knew his wife. It's got to be that kind of relationship. God, I don't know about you guys, I'm getting blessed. You shall know the truth. Well, see, where he's taking us right now, no school can take you there. I mean, if there was a school on earth, no matter what they called it, Bible school or whatever, where they could, where you could bring people like Tommy Perez or Victoria there, where there's no natural help at all. There's nothing science can do, nothing medical science can do. But if there was a school that was producing this on a regular basis, man, I'm the first one at the door of that school. I don't care if I'm 73, I'm a student. See, but there isn't one. And so he has called us in this season with these 8 consecutive prophecies that we have put a label on, bring me gold, to allow the Holy Spirit, if you'll permit me, to cocoon us during this season where we can start making really this transformation, this real fellowship, this real intercourse between us and the Holy Spirit, so that when we come out on the other side, we're not better Christians in that sense. We're not better humans. We're not more disciplined. We're all of those things. But we come out on the other side, we're butterflies. We're new creatures. We're more like the original Adam, but really we're more like the original Jesus. Because that's the image that he's conforming us to. Creatures with the ability to function in both realms. It should be, he told me one time, he said, hearing my voice should be more natural than you hearing any sound on planet Earth. Because at your core, you're a spirit being, not an earthly being. Hearing my voice should be more natural to you. Well, at the time he said that, it sure wasn't. And it still isn't today. Today I can hear Kelly's voice without doubt if she talks to me. And when the Holy Ghost talks to me, I'm going, is that you? I'm getting a few nods. You know what I'm talking about. It's not supposed to be that way. I don't think it was that way with Jesus. Not supposed to be that way with us. So, again, during this season, I'm speaking to myself as much to... I can't, there's nothing I can do to where Gary can be found at Canada in 30 seconds. There's nothing natural on the earth that will cause that to happen. We don't have Beam Me Up Scotty yet. Well, we may never have it, okay? But boy, the Holy Spirit can do that. And apparently we can flow with him to the point that is not an unusual thing. Wouldn't that be something? Man. So I hope that's encouraging to keep seeing where we're really going. And in those prophecies, he says, and he's not trying to build us up in a pride way, but he's just telling it like it is. He said, I don't have many on planet Earth that are willing to do what I have called you to do. To come and spend hour after hour, after hour after hour, after hour, after hour after hour, pray in tongues. Maybe read the Word during that time. Confess. Worship. And then tomorrow, let's do it again. I wonder how pleasant it is for the caterpillar inside the cocoon. I have no idea. I don't think it's Disneyland. It's a destruction and a rebuilding. It's a total transformation. It's thank God it's not just us. We've got people in Dayton. We've got people in Florida. We've got people in Australia. We've got people in New Zealand that we're in contact with, Germany, other places around the world. There might be quite a few people doing this. If we had them all in this room, you might be very encouraged. See? But Jesus changed the world with 12. One thing, I'm going to put a PDF that we've used before at the website with tonight's lesson, because it's an old document. It's at the face-to-face at the website. It's the very last one on the bottom right, called Agreeing with the Mind of Christ. This is the transformation. If you want to go ahead and call those things which be not as though they were, this document will help you get there. This is who you are, really. And so I'm going to finish this up. This will work out perfect time-wise. I'm going to go ahead and read it tonight. Now, it's already at the website in audio format on an MP3 or PDF format that you can download and print. But we'll also put it beside this lesson at my website where it's just easy for you. But I'm just going to read it to you. It said, the more my mind agrees with the mind of Christ, the easier it will be for me to receive and follow his instructions, even though they may seem bizarre to my natural man. I will also be more able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to cause the will of the Father to be made manifest in the earth. These confessions are intended to bring my mind into conformity with his mind in two stages. So this is separated into two sections. One, as his mind, Jesus' mind was when he ministered on the earth in the flesh. And number two, the second part, and I'll tell you when we get there, as his mind is now that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? So I agree with Jesus of Nazareth. This is the mindset of Christ when he was on the earth in his flesh himself. But it's me agreeing with him. Because, I mean, as he is, so are we in this world, right? I agree with Jesus of Nazareth. Haley, y'all want to say it after me? Okay, let's do that. It's calling in the lost, isn't it? Hopefully we're not lost, but... We're calling the caterpillar to the butterfly. How's that? We're calling the caterpillar to the butterfly. I and my Father are one. Christ is my life. I am born of the Spirit of Christ. I have no life apart from the life of Christ within me. My meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own, apart from my Father's will who sent me. I and my Father are one. I am born of my Father. I am born from above. I am born of the Spirit of my Father. I and my Father are one. The life of Christ is in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Christ himself. I have life within myself. My Father has anointed that life with his own Spirit. The life of Christ is in me, and the Father's Spirit has anointed me He has anointed that life with dominion. My Father's Spirit is in me and upon me to manifest my Father's will. Nothing is impossible to my Father. All things are possible by His Spirit. My Father has sent me into His garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from Christ, who is Lord of all, and the power of my Father's Spirit to restore all the damage this enemy has done, and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. I must be about my Father's business. I have been sent in the name of Jesus that all things be restored to my Father's original intent and purpose for man. I am a vessel for the life of Christ. I am a vessel for my Father's will. I am a vessel for my Father's dominion. I am a vessel through whom the Father works by the life of Christ within me and by the Holy Spirit's power upon me. I am a vessel through whom the Father works to restore all things to His will. I am a vessel of Christ's authority. I am Christ's agent of authority on the earth. And the Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power, with whom I am to co-labor on the earth. The Holy Spirit and I co-labor to bring the will of the Father from heaven to earth. We work together in order that all things be restored to the original intent and purpose of the Father. There is no division between me and the Holy Spirit. We are unified in purpose and motivations regarding all things. I never attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father. The fallen natural realm cannot be restored to the will of the Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. It is unthinkable to me that the Father's Spirit will not work in order to restore the Father's will in the earth. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit. I obey those instructions. And the Holy Spirit performs the will of the Father every time without exception. What could be more simple? I do nothing of myself. I am under no obligation, nor under any compulsion to do anything except what I receive from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit each day. I understand that I am on the earth to do the will of my Father in the name of Jesus. I also understand that I am not on the earth to do my own will, cloaked and veiled in the name of Jesus. There is a vast difference. I am free from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. I am not under obligation to do work in the name of Jesus Christ. He has not called me to minister to the people myself. He has called me to be the vessel through whom he can minister to the people himself. I am a vessel through whom the Father works. By the life of Christ within me, and by the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. My Father fills my vessel with Himself in order that He may extend His hand to touch the people by the Holy Spirit, who is the hand of the Father outstretched. I am free to serve Christ alone every day. I am under no obligation, nor under any compulsion, to venture forth unto ministry until I have received the will, the plan, the mind, and the counsel of Jesus Christ in completeness by the Holy Spirit. I am not a worker for my Father. I am a vessel through whom my Father can work by the power of His own Spirit. There is a vast difference between those two mindsets. Now that's the end of part one. We're starting now with part two. I agree with Jesus Christ in heaven. Say, the life of Christ is the only life which has proceeded from the Father, upon whom the Holy Spirit will enforce dominion. Christ has shared His life with me. I have been quickened with His life. And the Holy Spirit executes dominion upon my spirit, as my heart, my mind, and my will are conformed to that of Jesus Christ. Christ has sent me into the world in the same manner that He was sent into the world by the Father. I have the life of God within me, clothed in mortal flesh. Yet that life within me is anointed with the Holy Spirit Himself. I have perfect communication at all times with my Lord Jesus Christ in heaven by the agency of the Comforter who lives with me. My Lord Jesus Christ knows the Father's will for every situation. The Comforter brings me instructions from the mind of Christ Himself. It is unthinkable to me that the Holy Spirit would not bring me information from the mind of Christ for every circumstance. My Lord is pleased when I sit at the feet of the Comforter to receive instruction and counsel from the mind of Christ. The Comforter even shows me things to come in order that nothing takes me by surprise. I do not allow anything to sever my fellowship and my communion with the Counselor, my communion with the Comforter. It is never in the mind of Christ that I suffer defeat at the hand of the enemy. There is no possibility that the counsel I receive from him would not result in victory every single time. It is my Father's will to restore all things to his original intent and purpose for man. I receive instruction from the mind of Christ, which is the will of the Father, by the Spirit of the Father, in order that I may go forth to dress and to keep my Father's garden. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. All glory goes to him and him alone. He will not share his glory with another. Yet Christ is the seed sown in my heart. He intends for me to mature into the same image that was planted within me. He intends that the works that he did, I do also, and even greater works I shall do, because he is with the Father. He fully intends that his same level of ministry be multiplied many times over in the lives of believers all over the world. Christ is the mark, the pattern, the original that I am to strive toward. I never substitute the work of man for the work of the Father. Only by the working of the Father, by the Holy Spirit, through the life of Christ in me, can the fallen material realm be truly restored to the will of the Father in heaven. Lord, I understand. This work is of you and not of man. Now, that's good, isn't it? Feel like you took your medicine? Okay. We read it. You had knowledge of it. I'll print you a copy. If you do it 20 times, you'll be able to repeat a lot of it. And you'll, if you're like me and Alan, before we got out on that limb, you'll think you'll know him. Until you're the one. In front of Tommy Perez, Victoria, Homer Betancourt, our friend in Immokalee. Who? Sam Spitz, a little premature baby that needs a tremendous amount of restoration. Okay. So another one named Taylor that's having surgery. There's so many. See, and what he's called us to is not, I mean, thank God we said that. I'm glad we did it. It's part of the cocooning, but we're just not there yet. Can I just tell you the truth? I'm reminded right now, and I've only got a couple more minutes here. Recently, I was having lunch with a young man. I thank God for young men. No, it's not anybody that goes to this church, so stop it. From another church. Another state, actually, and I was having lunch with him. Nice young man. I like this man. He's going full-time into the ministry. And we were just having lunch, and I, you know, a zeal is a good thing. You find a lot of zeal in youth, you know. And we're talking, and he's well-educated. He sat under Dave's ministry for years. He knows pretty much the message. We were just sitting there, and Everett came up. He made this statement to me. He said, listen, he said, Christ is already fully matured in me. I mean, Christ in me right now can do anything. Doesn't that sound great? Good. Get in the car. I know the way to the children's hospital. Come on, we're going right now. He's in you, fully mature right now. Come on, get in the car. I need to finish my nuggets. See? We're coming into a knowing him through all of this. It's not just the word. It's not just prayer. It's Him. It's all of it. We're in the cocooning right now. We're going in as one type of creature. But we've got new creature nuggets in us that are being activated. And if you will read those and listen to those eight consecutive prophecies, there are some promises in there. He said, if you will do this, your fruit will be the miraculous healings. He plainly says that in there. Well, I don't have time to spend with you guys. We got Wednesday night prayer starting at 4. I'm coming. See, I'm going to be here whatever I can of it. Right at 4, I'm taking Lily home from school. But right after that, see what I'm saying? It's a knowing. We're coming into a knowing Him and a transformation that truly is not of this world. We're not even of this world. Jesus said that. We are new creatures that are not of this world. We are designed to function in both realms just like our original Jesus. And we have the nuggets in us. But it's time for that transformation. Well, it's time for our part. All we can do is stay in the cocoon. You know. He said, I don't have many. I don't think it's a whole lot of fun for the caterpillar in the cocoon. But the end result is glorious. Let's. And you guys are the ones. I know I'm preaching to the choir as I'm doing this, but other people around the world are listening. Let's do this. Let's do this. Amen.